I'm Melanie Thorne-O'Connor. Welcome back to the Emerging Leaders Podcast. This is episode number 2. I'm here with Lauren Rozbadovsky. She's a mindset and success coach, the founder of Courage Core, and also I'm super excited to dive into this pit that she's also a recording artist and songwriter, Lauren Ray. The purpose of this podcast is really to inspire and present to you a whole bunch of really cool, down-to-earth, authentic leaders that are emerging in all sorts of industries that are here to make a difference in people's lives. So I'm super excited to have Lauren here. She's a real genuine spirit and I'm really looking forward to hearing your story. So I'd love to start with just a bit of a journey of how you came to be in the position of founding Courage Core, if that's okay.
Yeah, I will try and keep it as concise as possible, but I will start from the beginning because I think it's an interesting journey from where I used to be to where I am now and how much I've had to grow and push past my own limiting beliefs to get here. So I woke up in my mid-20s and I can pretty much describe it as a quarter-life crisis. I think we're all going to have them pretty much every quarter as we go through our lives. But I woke up in my mid-20s where I was, you know, for all intents and purposes, fine. I could pay my bills. I had a 9-to-5 job, 5 days a week in a record company. I had friends, I had family. There's a lot going on. But I suddenly realized I was not doing what I wanted to do. I never wanted the 5 day a week, 9-to-5 job, even though I loved the job. I had originally come to London after finishing university to be a singer-songwriter. And yet here I was in an office 5 days a week. And so it was really when I came across Brené Brown's video, The Power of Vulnerability, it very much changed the complete trajectory of my life, because really it was watching her videos and then digesting her books and just taking in everything she said, just gave myself permission to recognize and acknowledge how little I was putting myself out, how afraid of vulnerability I was, how I was really doing just enough to be okay, but I wasn't really pushing myself. And I realized I didn't want to wake up and be 80 and look back on my life and realize I'd done just okay. And that the only reason I'd done just okay was because of my own mindset and fear of putting myself out there. So from that point on, I kind of declared to the world / the office, the people that worked directly around me, that I was going to be a singer-songwriter. I was going to make my first album. I wasn't going to wait for someone to discover me, like the classic singer-songwriter thing. I was going to just make it happen myself, put myself out there. And if I fail, well, then I fail daring greatly, like Brené Brown says. And that was kind of my whole mantra. And so, again, trying to speed it up a little bit for everyone's sanity, but I then did just that. I started putting myself out there. I started becoming what I like to call a # askhole, like asking people for help, for advice. I asked my company to reduce my hours so I didn't have to work full time. I went out to Nashville and LA writing with amazing people just from emailing people and saying, hey, I'm coming to Nashville, just asking and just seeing what happens. And then I recorded my first album in Nashville. I released it myself, got a bank loan and funded it myself because it costs quite a bit of money to do these things. And then off the back of that, I kept getting invited to tour and support other artists. So I've toured all over the UK, all around Europe, supporting other amazing artists like Anastasia, Rebecca Ferguson, Paul Carrick, and a few others. And then I recorded my second album. The funny thing is you'll notice a theme throughout my whole journey where my first album was called We Will Need Courage. My second album is called Woman in the Arena. Again, you can see the theme of courage and daring greatly. So then I'd gone down to part-time at my 9-to-5. I was working 3 days a week. But the whole time I was touring, I was still doing my 9-to-5 job. They were incredibly flexible with me. But I, last year, the 2020 last year, everyone knows a pandemic hit. And I was in the middle of a 3-month tour and doing my 9-to-5 and all of my music stuff stopped. And I'd already started consulting and coaching other artists because I had that very kind of unique perspective of having done a lot myself, having achieved a lot myself by putting myself out there. Plus I understood the business because I'd worked for a label for such a long time. So I'd already started coaching and consulting accidentally and I was really enjoying it. And it wasn't really until the pandemic hit that I suddenly had a lot of time on my hands. And so I decided to take the opportunity while I was not on tour and invest in training. So I then trained to be a certified coach, NLP, EFT, time hypnosis, which is basically just deep mindset work. And I launched my coaching practice end of last year. I've grown it purely just from putting myself out there, because I've been in lockdown this whole time, just purely putting myself out there on Instagram and Clubhouse now. And I grew my business in 6 months and quit my 9-to-5 basically. So that post pandemic, well, in fact, as of this week, I am a full-time coach and musician, which is the dream, because when I was 25, that's what I wanted to be doing. I wanted to have my own freedom-based business and be a musician. And the fact that it's taken me, I'm now 33, this long to get here, but ultimately it just took a lot of work. And I'm so, so grateful that I've been able to figure out that coaching was a job, figure out how much I love it, and combine that with being able to be a musician. So that's as short as I could get it, I guess.
This podcast, this journey is really about you being able to really sink into your story and share it fully. This actually came out of Clubhouse as well. The core essence of this is really about every person has a story, and every story is worthy of being heard in full. And nice. I love that you're a Brené Brown fan.
Massive. I always say that if I met Brené Brown and Brad Pitt in a room, I'd be like, "Sorry, Brad Pitt, can you just move out the way? Brené Brown is here." That's how much I'm a fan.
Oh yeah, she is a legend. I can definitely see that essence in who you are as well. And courage has been a big word for me. And I know this podcast as well came about from this journey of realizing that coaching was such a valuable profession, but that I actually wasn't meant to be the person coaching. And I got this sense that there was going to be this next generation of people who are meant to be in this role. I think my role is to support you to do your great work. So getting the voices out and doing what I can to support you to share your stories, because it's such a beautiful gift. I think that whole 2020 point was a real acceleration into what our true purposes are and the place that we're meant to hold in it. So I know that, and you might find this with your clients as well, courage is such a big thing because people let fear hold them back so much. So I'd just be curious, what are you noticing are some of the themes about, like, with your clients and that going through fears, and how are you helping them get to courage?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thank you so much. The fact that you just said that's the reason you're doing this is to support other people sharing their voices. Like, that's, it's just such a lovely thing to be doing. And I'm so grateful to be invited to be part of it. So courage for me, I mean, as I've shared, courage is such a point of passion for me throughout my music, throughout everything, because it was the one thing I realized that I think, like so many people, we're waiting to feel ready or waiting to not be afraid, as if that's the moment then we can start doing things. And when I realize, oh, we're never going to be without fear, and we're never going to not feel those feelings, and we're never going to never feel like imposter syndrome. The goal isn't to remove those feelings, because we're human, we're going to have fears, we're going to be afraid. The goal is to recognize that we can have those feelings and still go and do the thing we want to do. And it sounds so basic saying it, but when I realized that, I was like, oh, okay, I can actually just go out and do the things I want to do. And the biggest thing for a lot of my clients is they are waiting to feel ready, and they're allowing their fears of being seen, showing up online and promoting their businesses and what other people will think to stop them from going from what they really want. And I always say to them, do you want to wake up one day and look back and realize that you were the one saying no to your goals and your dreams? And I think it's much easier to accept not getting maybe what you want, maybe in what you thought it would look like, because we can't guarantee anything in life. But ultimately, how would you feel? Would you rather you always be able to look back and thought, well, at least I tried, at least I went for it? That's a feeling that I really hold on to. When I turn up every day that I turn up for my business, I always say to myself, what would I not regret doing? I will regret not showing up on Instagram stories. Like, no one likes showing up on Instagram stories. No one likes making reels. I mean, show me a person who loves making reels, and I will bow down to them, because honestly, they're awkward. I feel so stupid all the time, but I know it's making a difference for my business. So I show up and I do them, and I get comfortable in the discomfort, basically. That's what I'm helping my clients do, is just get comfortable in the discomfort. Okay. And one thing Brené Brown always says, which I'm always pointing out, is that she calls it the FFT, which is the effing first time. I won't actually say the word, because if we've never done something before, how can we expect to feel comfortable? And we're going to always feel in that discomfort. So I always just remember in the back of my head, FFT, never done a reel before. Of course it's going to suck for a while.
If more people were willing to do things imperfectly, I think we'd have a lot more dreams coming true.
the whole thing about courage is that, you know, courage is something that people think you're born with, or it's some sort of aggressive sort of triumphant feeling, and it's really just a muscle, kind of like confidence. You just have to start. I think the quote is, you learn swimming by swimming, you learn courage by couraging. And that's the only way to become courageous, is just to start showing up and taking tiny steps of courage every day. This feels very simple, but it is a very big thing for people if you're not used to that discomfort. Yeah,
absolutely. I think for some people, what stops them getting to courage, I'll hear your take on this as well, is that the fear is so much stronger than where they're going. When it's the fear is so big and that courage feels so small. But somehow if you balance the scales a little bit by taking smaller steps or things like that. But I was surprised when I'm doing coaching myself that how much people let fear hold them back. And I can relate to your story so much as well. I was an elite athlete and people go, oh, that's, you know, I was like, no, I was terrified and I did it anyway.
Exactly. No, I think that's exactly it. It's one of those things where, you know, our bodies, our minds are designed to keep us safe. So I always say to people, don't feel bad if that's how you've shown up so far. But I think our past doesn't equal our future. So just because you've shown up your entire life allowing fear to rule your decisions, that's fine. But I think recognizing that just because we are afraid of something, that doesn't make it fact, doesn't make it's going to happen. And that it makes sense that we have those fears because our bodies are consistently trying to keep us safe. And I think the reason I'm so interested in mindset work and linking that to courage and stuff is because I've realized through learning and through my own personal development work, but also then being trained in this space, how much we can control our thoughts, which I just think is insane that it's not taught in schools. Imagine if I knew this information as a child, I would hopefully have achieved even more than I already have. If you think about these things, I think about the next generation, my nieces and nephews, if they're taught this stuff in schools, just how much control they're going to have over their own thoughts to a certain degree. Obviously, we're never going to be perfect, but at least they'll have more tools in their tool belt.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you noticing with your clients, there's any common themes of the biggest fears that they're wrestling with? Are you seeing common themes showing up that's getting in the way of a lot of people?
The two biggest ones I see are imposter syndrome and the fear of judgment. I think the fear of showing up. And I think the biggest thing for my clients, because a lot of my clients are still in 9-to-5s and wanting to shift to have that freedom-based business. They want to shift whether, you know, a lot of my clients are copywriters or social media strategists or coaches or musicians and artists, but they ultimately want to move away from that 9-to-5 rule. There's nothing wrong with that, but the biggest thing I see is when they want to make that shift, they have this fear of what people think. Oh, I'm just suddenly a coach now, or I'm just suddenly a freelance copyright designer, or I'm suddenly this. And it's always like they're worried that people are going to, and that's the fear of judgment and the imposter syndrome combined, ultimately. It's funny because I had that exact same feeling when I first started my coaching practice. I mean, I've worked in the music industry for 10 plus years at labels and as an artist. And suddenly, quote unquote, I am announcing myself as a coach. And I was like, what are people going to think? People aren't going to take me seriously. But then I was like, well, hang on a minute. I'm literally trained in this. I'm certified in this space. Specifically when I'm coaching music industry people, I understand everything that they could possibly have experienced. So I was having to basically almost make a list of the reasons why I am of an asset and a value in this space and why people would be happy that I'm now a coach. But it really took a lot of logical convincing. But like every other human, it was like, what are people going to think? Are they going to take me seriously? Who do I think I am? And that kind of language is so common with my clients, which is why I'm happy to help them. And I'm able to help them more so because I felt that themselves. I'm not coming into this going, I've never felt these feelings. I'm perfect. I have experienced every single feeling that all of my clients feel. So when they say it, I'm like, yep, been there, my friend. Let's move past it.
Yeah. One of the many reasons why I reached out to you as well, because you just tell it like it is and don't pretend to be someone that you're not. There's a real authenticity to the way that you present yourself. And that's what I resonate with and get drawn to. You've got a sense of a deeper mission or a deeper purpose that it seems to have threaded throughout your journey. And it seems to be that you have enough tapping into that so you can recognize it when it calls you. So that thought of, oh, I'm not doing it, and then the courage to take the action. I'm curious, is there some kind of spiritual connection or anything like that that you've followed, or is it just just an inner knowing or trusting yourself? Or what would you say lends you to having that courage?
I think the multiple things. So I'm not religious or particularly spiritual in any way. I do believe in energy. I just think that you put good energy out. I mean, anything energy related, I'm here for. But I wouldn't consider myself a particularly spiritual person or a religious person. I think I have a privilege to a certain degree that because I have a big family, and I think that that has allowed me to have a sense of tribe and support emotionally that not everyone will have. So I think I had a leg up in that sense, and I'm not going to shy away and pretend that's not a case. I think that we have to recognize the privileges that we have, not only the fact I'm white, I'm, you know, middle-class British, I have a lot of other privileges, but I think from a mindset point of view, I've had a very stable upbringing. We moved around a lot, which in some ways shook me and made me feel unstable, but at the same time, it set me up for being very adaptable. So I think recognizing our own privileges and our mindset, and I think that I've basically, because I have a big family unit, I have a very supportive network of friends that I've been friends with my whole life. I think I have a much more resilient sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? I think I have a natural feeling of being able to go for things because I have that community safety net. I definitely had natural elements of courageousness. You know, I jumped out of a plane. I don't know why I did that. I've done many things which people would say, well, you've always been courageous. But I think when it comes to like relationships and your business and your passions and stuff like that, that was something I really struggled with, and vulnerability was a huge thing. But I honestly do think that it was reading Brené Brown's work and doing the deep personal development mindset work, that's where I've then been able to step up into that space and feel like I have that self-correcting and self-checking and checking on my thoughts and stuff like that. But I do want to recognize that I have that privilege, that I do come from a very stable background, and I do think that's helped me and that's given me that extra support. And it's not to say that anyone who hasn't come from that stable background and hasn't got that can't learn these things, but I want to recognize that that has definitely been a thread that has probably given me an extra leg up to get there faster.
Having that background, knowing what that feels like, you can also be a part of providing that as well in your coaching service to people who haven't experienced that. So that can be a beautiful gift in itself that you give to your clients too. I'm curious, what do you think's been your biggest challenge that you've had to overcome to get to where you are today?
I mean, I guess just getting out of my own way in general, but I think for me, the biggest leap was, and the sort of the biggest sort of domino from becoming more courageous and being more vulnerable just day to day, encouraging, you have to just start doing it and being pressing. The biggest thing for me was actively announcing to, I say the world, to people in my immediate circle that I'm going to be a singer-songwriter and I'm going to do an album and I'm going to make it like work. Because I'd so far always been so afraid of saying that out loud, like actively saying, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to put myself out there for going, you know, goodness, God forbid that I fail, how embarrassing. So I think the biggest step for me was taking that first act of courage, which is the hardest step, because if you don't take that first step, you can't take the second, you can't take the third. And it really was me self-talking and saying, you're just going to have to put yourself out there, because if you don't, you will regret it. And you're going to have to just accept the fact that if you don't, quote unquote, succeed, whatever success and, you know, succeeding looks like, that you're just going to have to get over that. And then ultimately I realized that most people don't really care what we're all doing anyway. Everyone's busy in their own life. So I was like, oh, most people don't even care. So it's fine. But it was that first big act of courage. I think that was the biggest hurdle for me and the biggest act of really putting myself out there and just then continually working on my own mindset and just continually working through every failure, every setback, every no. As a musician, I've definitely built my resilience as a musician, which again has helped me in my coaching business, because I've had 10 years of no's. So, and if you add a number of yeses, but I have had 10 years of no's. And so a no in my coaching business doesn't really affect me that much. I'm like, yep, I heard that before. I'm good. I'll just keep going.
Yeah. It's even an extra layer of vulnerability when you're a creative person putting your creative work out into the world, because it's got to have a vein of authenticity in it for it to resonate with people. And that's really like putting yourself out there naked.
Yeah, I mean, if I can cope with a no as a musician where it's like it's very much a part of me. It's not like it's a separate, it's not like I built, designed, created a candle and it's like a physical product. It's separate from me. As a musician, as a creative, everything that I put out there as a product was a huge part of me. It was my diary basically in musical form. And so the nose felt a lot more personal. But the biggest thing I realized, I think the privilege I had was working in the music business alongside being creative, is that I realized very quickly from seeing the inside of how the sausage gets made factory thing, was that 99% of the time, a no is not personal. And I always think about like the no is only there when the person cannot give you a yes. So I got really resilient with the no's, because I was like, that person can't give me a yes. That's absolutely fine. It's probably not about me. Maybe it is, but I'll never really know. So let's just assume it's not and crack on.
God, I love it. You've got such an epic mindset. I love it. Growth mindset is definitely thriving, which is awesome. Congratulations, because we connected right about the time when you were finishing up your 9-to-5, which is a massive goal with so many coaches. So major kudos for that. What are you most excited or passionate about now as you step into your first few weeks as a full-time coach and musician?
Well, first of all, thank you so much. Yeah, we did connect as I was announcing myself excitedly on the internet, being like, I quit. I've got my 9-to-5 is over. But I think for me, it's just the fact that, because I've been building this business alongside my 9-to-5, and a lot of people are, and I have been fortunate that I've had only been working 3 or 4 days a week. And so therefore I've had that extra day to do it. But I suddenly realized that if I'm able to help this many people a month on this amount of time, the most thing I'm excited about is the fact that I have so many more days in the week now that help more women. And it's really my goal to help more women live more, and men. I have a few male clients, but my target is women, because I think that's just in me. But my goal is to help as many women as possible live more courageously and consciously. And the conscious part of it is a huge thing, because yes, we need to be courageous, but I want people to live consciously and make choices in their lives and their health and their business, in what they want their life to look like consciously. And so the fact of the matter is, the biggest thing I'm excited about is how many more women I'll have time to help. And honestly, I get so much joy. My boyfriend was laughing the other day, because he said every single time he walks past in our bedroom, when he walks past, he knows I'm on a coaching call, because all he can hear is giggling, because I get on well with so many of my coaches. Obviously we do work as well, but I have such a good time working with all the women and seeing them really like open up and take risk and put themselves out there. And a lot of my clients come to me for business coaching, but I have some clients who come to me for general life coaching. And often the thing there is about being courageous and vulnerable in their relationships and going out there and finding that relationship they want and taking that consciously, really. And so yeah, for me it's just mind-blowing that I get to have this much more time to help so many more women. Everything else is just admin and content creation.
Is the part of your business that you love the most the working with the women itself? Is that your favorite part of the business?
Yeah, it is. It's when I see how much I can support them. And obviously they're all doing the work. I'm not going to take any credit for all the clients I'm working with. They're putting themselves out there. They're the ones who have to do the work. And I've just had a client recently who, she's just launched her first business for the first time, and she's so, so excited about it. And she's had no idea how to do any of this stuff. So I'm a mindset and success coach, but I'm a business mentor as well, because I've done everything already. Why not support them and help them cut a bunch of corners? But seeing them like signing a client or putting themselves out there on camera and just pushing through those barriers and seeing how much they're getting from it and how excited they get about their future. Some of my clients have kids and they really want to create a life where they can work from home and be with their kids and bring in money as a mother, as a woman. And it's exciting for me that I get to be a part of them creating the life that they really want. I do enjoy content creating. I like showing up on Clubhouse and chatting and connecting, but there's nothing else that excites me more than seeing someone I'm working with genuinely get something out of our time together. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't enjoy the content creation so much, because it's all leading to working with more people.
Also, if you're imagining a world where you get more women living creatively and consciously, what do you think, or what would you see or have as the vision for the world if we get more women living courageously and consciously?
Ooh, big question. How do you solve the world's problems? Now, I think for me, the biggest thing I'm seeing, which if I can make a difference in the smallest way possible, helping women one-to-one, is that if more women date more consciously and make choices in their partners more consciously, have the confidence to choose their partners more consciously, I think that will make a big difference. Mm-hmm. But I think more importantly, or as importantly, women being more courageous and confident in themselves, in their careers, in their businesses, and going for things, because we're the programming we've had as women over the years, I mean, it's getting better, quote unquote, but it's not great still for women. And I think we have so many limiting beliefs that are self-imposed, but mostly societally imposed. And statistically, it's been proven that the more money women have, the better society is, because women on average put more money back into societies. We put money more back into healthcare and education and child and charities and stuff like that. And so logically, let's have more women earning more money and have their own autonomy. If women have money and control over their finances, they're more likely to be able to choose those relationships and choose not to be in relationships which aren't good for them because they have the financial ability to do so. More women getting educated, more women putting money into society. So for me, it's just like the most logical thing in the world. We need more women doing better in society because that ultimately means society does better. And a friend of mine works in sustainability, and she was saying that the stats there are incredible, that more women put more money and put more time and energy into things that are better for the environment and sustainability. So we need more women with money, because that's only going to impact positively things like climate change. It sounds so silly. Me helping one woman with her business is just a small part of that. But imagine how much we could do if more women were being helped in this way. Like the ripple effect, that is incredible.
Absolutely. Totally aligned with that.
I feel a bit grandiose and self like OTT, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I did put in that position a little bit with that question, but I do like the bigger picture questions. And it's so nice, the more people that we can get having that as their core, helping yourself and helping others to expand, to grow, to step into their courage, to put themselves out there, to be financially empowered, right? Mm-hmm. That's how we're going to make a difference. So more power to you. I love it. I have one more question for you. As it is an Emerging Leaders podcast, and I really wanted to highlight the people that I really believe in and I believe are going to be the next generation of leaders. So no pressure.
None so far.
No, none so far. Okay. People who I want to support, who I believe in, who I believe deserve to be leaders in this industry that has so much to offer, so many people, but sometimes, or at least over the last decade, has at times gotten a bit of a bad name. I don't know if you've heard anything. So I want to highlight the people who are genuine, who are meant to do this work, who are doing the right thing and really looking after their clients and in it for the right reasons. So I'm curious, what do you think makes a great leader? You can go big, go global, or even just in the coaching industry.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think I appreciate the fact that you're highlighting me as someone who is doing good in this space. But I think in all industries, there's always going to be a multiple variety of people doing various different things with different intentions. But I just try and do what I can in the most authentic and honest way that I can, because I always say I don't want to get to the end of my working day and feel like my soul needs a good scrub, basically. That's how I want to feel.
I love it. It's a great way to put it.
For me, a good leader is someone who is willing to be vulnerable. And I think that a lot of this I've learned from my own experience working with great managers or not so great managers at work, but also people I see in the space that I really admire in coaching, but also just leaders of the, you know, various countries. I see who I'm drawn to in different leaderships and I know what the commonalities are. But with Brené Brown's work as well, she's really highlighted what a daring leadership looks like. And ultimately it's down to being vulnerable and dealing with our own stuff. I think she says that fear isn't the biggest problem. It's the armors that we put up and the armory that we have. And I think that's true of leaders in businesses, leaders in the world, but also parents. I think the more that we can get comfortable with our own inner issues and our own limiting beliefs and deal with our own personal challenges, the less we're going to take that out and affect negatively the people around us. And I think the more leaders who are doing their own inner work, doing their own deep work, and being comfortable being vulnerable, I mean, comfortable making mistakes and comfortable asking for help. If you look at the last year and you look at the leaders around the world who think about everybody and you think about, they're not just looking at, you know, one subset, but they think about everyone. How is everybody doing? You know, how is the local community? How is this subset of group doing? How is this person doing? So I think a great leader is someone who's willing to admit they don't know everything, that is willing to be vulnerable, and is thinking, how is everybody doing at all times? And thinking about the bigger picture. So that's kind of my two cents on that. I love it when I find someone who is really, really inspiring, and I just get to sort of see them be amazing out in the world and make change for the good, because I don't think we have enough great leaders and we need more of them.
I agree. Thank you. There was something that stood out to me as well about your answer when you were talking about how great leaders are people who consider how everyone's doing. Being inclusive was the word that came to me, that great mm-hmm. leaders are inclusive. I hadn't thought about that as a word for leadership before. So before we wrap up, I'm curious, who is your ideal client, so that we can make sure that people who are watching this, and if they're a fit for you, they know it. So probably by this stage, they're like, I can't believe, you know, I finally found the person I'm meant to be working with. That's my aim for this anyway, so that people recognize that if you're a good fit, but also from your perspective, who is your ideal client, so people know?
Thank you for asking that. That's really lovely as an opportunity to even say it. So I have two, but my main one, most of my clients are city ambitious women who are currently in a 9-to-5 or a job they don't love, that they ultimately don't want to be, and they want to launch their own business. So most of my clients are new business owners or side hustlers, as they often call themselves, but looking to grow so that they can have an exit strategy from their 9-to-5. And so that's my main client. And then I do also do music industry coaching. So if anyone's listening who's in the music industry, I work with a lot of people in the industry as well, professionals and creatives. So yeah, I get to work with two groups of people, which I love. It's a great variety for me.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Thank you. And yes, if you're watching this and you're not following Lauren, please do make sure you get over and start following her to courage.core. On Instagram. I know you find the reels a little uncomfortable, but I love them. I love your reels.
Thank you.
Yeah, you just look so vibrant. You're beaming when you're doing them. So it's really nice to see your lovely smiling face.
It's all that nervous energy going into my face.
Yeah, I do the same thing. So it's all good. Besides Instagram, is there another way or the best way for people to reach out and connect with you and find out more about the work you do?
Yeah, so Instagram is probably where I'm most active. So yeah, as you said, at courage.core. I'm also on Clubhouse, which is at couragecore without the dot. But honestly, you can just go couragecore.com and you can read about my coaching programs and see if I'm the right fit. But reach out anytime. As you can tell, I'm very chatty. So feel free to just DM me if you want to just have a good natter, because I'm here.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lauren, for joining me. I really appreciate it. I'll make sure that there's some links below this when we get it posted so people can find out more about you. And I do hope this is the first time we chat, not the last time, because I think you're awesome.
Me too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. The chat's been lovely. And I hope we can chat again.
Thank you very much.
Bye.